Good morning. Check, check. Do I have levels? I have levels. I keep messing with this thing because sometimes when I stick it in my pocket, the record level, the little knob gets pushed, like it rubs against something and gets turned up. And then I'm recording and everything's clipping super loud. So I'm afraid that maybe one or two of my earlier recordings came out super loud. Sorry about that if I did. I compress them, you know, I go through and try and I put a compressor, limiter, dynamics, EQ, all that stuff on the track, but it's hard to come up with settings that are consistent if one day I record at 9 and the other day I record at 5, and if the track is actually smashed in the recorder, if it's clipping or near clipping in the recorder, then you can't really get that bandwidth back, that dynamic range back, at least not very well. You probably could if you were a little more expert at audio processing than I am, and I probably could if I had my full studio set up and really wanted to put time into it and listen carefully, but I don't. And I don't. My nice audio interface I sold this summer to raise some money while unemployed. And so I'm just listening through a couple of cheap speakers. I do have something else I could use to get my nice studio monitors hooked up, but I haven't done that yet. There's not much space under the desk I'm using now. I haven't figured out how to rearrange that stuff. Really, I need a real desk with some rack space in there. Without that, it's just kind of, I'm stepping or tripping over everything. I don't have room for my legs under the desk. Anyway, I just dropped the kids off at school and as usual we were 1 minute late according to my clock, but 3 minutes late according to their clock, and I always find that frustrating. But I'm not the only one to get there late. Several other parents came after us. So I don't feel too bad, I guess, but that's like, I really would like to get them there 5 minutes early every morning and have enough time so that the morning walk to the school was not actually a jog. But they were good. And I told them that we were running really late this morning, they actually moved pretty quickly and they didn't drag their feet or stage any sit-down strikes along the way. The real slowdown this morning was after waking them up, they just lay around. They just kept collapsing into heaps, like lay around on the floor not moving, and then I got them stood up and got them in the process of putting on their clothes with their mom supervising and went downstairs to make them breakfast. And 10 minutes later, I came back up and they were still both standing. Well, Sam was sitting in their underwear, not dressed, which is maddening. I should say, They are actually six years old and 4 years old. Sam just turned seven. Is that right? I always get so confused with the kids. Yeah. Seven and four. So they're doing pretty well, actually, to get out and get moving even close to on time. I just like it to be smoother. I'd like not to have to get worked up in the morning. And I guess it's my choice to get worked up or not. But nothing else seems to work. Like, unless I get loud, and I actually brought a metal bowl upstairs and started banging on it to make as much noise as possible to get them, like, energized. It seems like if I don't do something like that, there's absolutely no sense of urgency I can instill in their part with offering them rewards, like, you know, you get a nice breakfast or a nicer breakfast, or punishment, like consequences, which is, if we don't leave right now, we're gonna have to run the whole way to school or something. Oh, I don't know. I'd like to be able to do what John does, my friend John, and that is not every morning, but I don't think every morning, but at least some mornings he sticks his daughter on the back of a bike trail along, and they bike to school. That would be really easy to do with one of them. But I think they're both still a little young to be doing that. And I'm not going to try and... I'm sure someone makes one, but I'm not going to try and navigate a bike with two kids on the back. If they were really little, I could do something like a burly trailer. But Sam is too big for that kind of thing. We also, it's almost too close for that. Like, the effort involved with getting out a bike and getting a trailer hooked on or whatnot, and you know, getting it out of the garage or whatnot. It's less than, I'm pretty sure it's under a quarter mile, or right close to a quarter mile. So it's just not very far. It's maybe an 8 minute walk for an adult, seven or 8 minutes, at least the way I walk, or 10 to 15 minutes the way normal people walk. Anyway, so I'm trying to think my way into a topic this morning, and this is, if you've been listening, you know this is kind of how I do it, is I start talking and then eventually seize on a topic. I haven't seized on one yet, but I'll tell you that it's Tuesday, I should say. I missed yesterday morning. And I'll explain why. We had a pretty good weekend on balance. Sort of. Saturday, we woke up all feeling really sluggish. No one wanted to move. End of a long, very busy week. We had a plan to get out to go to the farmer's market in the morning, but it was noon before we actually left the house. No one would move, including the grown-ups. We just weren't moving very fast. So I can't be too upset at the kids for being like this sometimes. They just felt sluggish. My joints ached and everything. But we got some coffee in us when I asked Grace if she wanted some of the leftover coffee from downstairs. She practically started drooling, and like she became incoherent and was just like grunting and gesturing. So I took that as a yes. What did she say? She said, "More than anything else in the whole world." We first went to the Saginaw Farmers Market. Saginaw Farmers Market is relatively modest, and it's only really open in the morning, so it was already in the process of shutting down. But we got some nice fruits and veggies. And one special one, which you may not have heard of, and I had heard of, but I've actually, until a couple days ago, I had never actually eaten. And that is a fruit called a pawpaw. And I think a lot of people have heard of them because of like some ancient songs way down yonder in the pawpaw patch or something like that. They're not produced commercially in any quantity for shipping, and so you never see them on store shelves. You might see them in the South at a roadside stand or something like that. I don't know, but I've never seen them for sale up here. In Michigan or in Ohio or Pennsylvania, it was a supermarket kind of thing. And the reason is that they ship very badly. They go from unripe to rotten in just a couple of days. And they're really only good when they're very ripe, where they're actually turning brown. And if you just saw one from the outside that was ripe and ready to eat, when you look at it, it does not look appealing. it looks like something spoiled. So we got some of these. There's a guy who Grace knows. She knows just about all the vendors at the farmer's market, I think, because she was working with a group that runs a table there. Although I think that's kind of, if not fallen apart, at least it's been toned down. They haven't been doing much. I know we didn't grow anything for sale there this year. We didn't take anything from our garden. But they don't usually have pawpaws, but I guess some were just ripe enough to sell, and so they were selling some, and so we got, I don't know, 7 or 8. The ones that they're selling up here are mostly kind of small. I don't know whether that's because it's late in the year or it's just this season, this climate doesn't grow big ones. But they're these little green fruits. In the South they're quite large. They grow quite large, like the size of your fist or bigger, I think. And one or two of them were that big, but most of them were pretty small. And you wait to eat them until they're really brown and ugly looking. And you slice them open, and they have a number of big, big hard seeds in them. You don't eat those. You save those, and you can plant them. But they're kind of like mangoes, a little bit. The interior is this light yellow, this sort of pale flesh that you can scoop out from around the seeds and eat with a spoon. The skin doesn't taste too great. I mean, I ate some of it, but how to describe the flavor, it's kind of like a really ripe banana with just a little bit of like lemony flavor, a little bit apple-like, a little bit pear-like. I don't even know what they're related to. I looked it up on Wikipedia. I think they're just a strange thing. But apparently they're the largest native, like indigenous American fruit that grew here from the beginning instead of being introduced. I guess they're related to something in that they grow in Mexico and South America called, I don't know how to say it, cherimoya, which I don't think I've ever had either. But anyway, the odd thing about the fruit, the flavor, is that when it's really ripe and you get a good spoonful of it, a good chunk of it, it tastes like an egg custard. It tastes like it has eggs, like it's a smooth, cooked, only lightly sweet egg custard, like a creme brulee almost, except not quite as sweet and doesn't have the crunchy burnt sugar on the top. And it's really startling. They're really good. One of our friends came over the night before last, and I fed him some of it, and he was kind of just amazed by the flavor of the thing. Just, wow, because he had never eaten one either, but he'd heard the name, and we were talking about how there are pawpaw place names, like Pawpaw Creek or whatever, all over the country. So at one point people knew what they were. And I think there's some songs that mention pawpaws and stuff like that. So people are still growing them, but Christian Science Monitor did an article of, must have been, I think it was 2006, you can find it online, the pawpaw, America's forgotten fruit, and how there was sort of a resurgence in people actually deliberately cultivating them. Apparently they grow as trees. The plants grow into tree-sized plants, and they have simple foliage and very pretty flowers, but apparently they smell like rotting meat. The flowers, and they're pollinated by flies, by like insects that would normally be attracted to carrion. So it's, they say that if you want to grow the fruit, you have to convince flies to pollinate your tree. And people have to resort to hanging like chicken guts near the flowers to attract the flies, because maybe the smell isn't strong enough to attract them by themselves. That sounds really strange. I guess you do what you have to do if you want fruits. But I say also that it only works to get nice fruit from them if you have a couple of different pawpaw trees of slightly different varieties. And so you can get these flies to pollinate from one to the other. I don't know if that's completely true or not. If they'll pollinate like two trees of the same stock. They're clones. They grow from they grow through the roots. I don't know. I just remember reading that they were clonal. Like you would have a whole patch of pawpaw trees, and they'd all be related clones of each other, like bananas are now. I don't know. I don't know if any of this is quite true. I haven't seen the trees. So, but maybe we'll try and grow them. We'll see if we can get a couple varieties and grow them. I think that if you look at a chart of their range, it doesn't extend up into Michigan, but global warming, you know, it's got to be good for something. So at the same time that it's putting all our traditional crops here in Michigan at risk, maybe it means we'll be able to grow pawpaws, which could be interesting. I don't know. We can try. Even if the trees don't bear fruit, apparently they're nice. They have pretty flowers. I doubt if they smell so bad that you wouldn't want them in your yard. Anyway, does that count as a topic? I'm about 22 minutes in, and I think I stumbled on a topic. So, I'll just mention, I'm doing another lap here around the boulevard. Hands are freezing. It's quite cold this morning. It is, let's see, I think it's the 22nd of October. The month is going fast. So after we left the Saginaw Farmers Market, we popped back in the car and we drove down to the Flint Farmers Market. And as Grace puts it, the Flint Farmers Market is kind of where we hope the Saginaw Farmers Market will have reached in 10 years or so. It's really banging. It's awesome. It's a nice place, a very cool, bohemian, positive energy going on. A lot of vendors, a lot of great produce, and an indoor space too with some little restaurants, people making Middle Eastern food and Mexican food. Morning. So we got some chicken shawarma sandwiches and fattoush salad and some yogurt drinks, and had a nice snack, and then we loaded up the car with all kinds of produce, including a Mother Hubbard squash, which is heavier than our 2.5-year-old. Like this massive squash, you could hollow it out and put him in it to float downstream like Moses. And that's in the cold room now, awaiting a suitable day to be split in half and baked. Maybe we'll stuff a whole chicken in it or something. I don't know. Figure out something to do with it. All kinds of great food. Collard greens and some sausage that was made by this guy who makes his own sausage locally near Flint. Let's see. Bunch more apples. The apple crop apparently was really, really good this year. And our favorite apples are out in abundance. Honeycrisp, Michigan Honeycrisp apples, fantastic. If you ever get to try one, please do. My favorite apple for eating, that is. Not for pies or anything like that. And all kinds of other squash and gourds and various fall things, including some Asian pears grown in Michigan. Local potatoes. Local, what else? We piled up the whole, I took pictures and put them on Facebook. We piled up our whole, well, half our dining table with this cornucopia. Really, there's no other way to say it, except there was not a, like an actual woven horn basket shape kind of thing involved. But this cornucopia of fall food. And I was commenting that there are many things to maybe feel bad about, mournful about in Saginaw, Michigan. The declining labor market, the declining economy, sort of collapsing neighborhoods, abandoned homes. All these things. But the local food scene, as far as genuine, locally farmed food, is really blossoming. It's really improving. People are starting to take it seriously. And Grace was also commenting that at a place like the Flint Farmers Market, because they have eggs and meat and dairy stuff for sale, in addition to these massive amounts of basically every fruit and vegetable you could possibly get in season, because they have those things and it runs well into the fall. I don't know when it closes. It might be open all winter. You really could do all your shopping there. I mean, assuming you have any money to buy food, that would be one of the most effective places to spend it. And you could get pretty much everything that you would get at a supermarket, except most of it produced locally and most of it much better quality. So that was wonderful. I am hoping that one day soon Michigan will have like a local food scene that will be recognized nationally. I think it's already starting to be with like Michigan wines are getting favorable reviews. Certain white wines that are just really world class. So that's starting to happen. But I'd love to see Michigan recognized nationally as having a food scene that was every bit as exciting as, say, Oregon. And there's really no reason why that can't happen. Why that can't be the strongest basis for a local economy. But it's not going to fund sprawl, and it's not going to fund fossil fuel addiction. It's going to fund people actually living in homes that they buy to live in, not to invest in, and communities whose purpose is living, not wealth accumulation. But anyway, it made me really hopeful. And then Sunday, I was up before dawn in the bathroom with diarrhea and vomiting. So that was no fun. That was no fun at all. And I spent pretty much the entire day upstairs, was able to keep down only a small amount of water, and eventually in the evening some herbal tea with honey, but basically didn't eat any solid food the entire day. I'm not sure what it was, another viral attack. I'm not sure why I keep getting sick, but still didn't feel too great Monday, but I was able to fast all morning, just have a little diluted coffee and water, and then by afternoon I was able to eat again. So, I don't know. Food poisoning? Maybe. Everyone else ate exactly what I ate, though, so I'm not sure. Okay, you know what? I'm about to bump into Pippin and Grace and baby Benjamin out for a walk. Pippin brought me a flower. That's so sweet. I'll talk to you all later. Thanks for listening. Bye.